Two things drove me this last week to choose this particular passage. One of them was one of the quiet times that I had during this last week, based out of Isaiah 53. So if you turn in your Bible to Isaiah 53, I'm going to read it in a few moments. But before I read it, one of the things I was doing during this last week, I was watching Facebook a little bit. And one of the things that came up in my Facebook feed was a reel of an encounter between two people. It started like this. This young man, relatively strong young man, looked very fit, looked very healthy. Wasn't too bad looking, I thought. Not that I'm a judge of what men look like, but he walked up to this one girl. And he started talking to this girl, and he hadn't said 10 things to her, and she slapped him. Bah! Just gave him a clap. And he was quite taken aback by the fact that she just slapped him without... She said this to him, "How dare you," and then swore, "How dare you so-and-so talk to me? Can't you see... how can you come and stand next to me? Can't you see that I am a 10 and you are nothing?" I was quite shocked. Well, his response simply was, "I never asked. I never asked to stand next to you in the first place." And that's where the clip ended. But it made me wonder what it is that I use to judge other people. What are the things that I use? What are the things that I use to choose the people with whom I will associate? And then I had this quiet time about who Jesus was. And I wondered, how many people would choose Jesus if Jesus was like that young girl? How many would choose him? So let's read this passage in Isaiah 53. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him to be stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each one of us turning to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of it all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor had any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, we will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in the land. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of light, light of life, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify all. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils among the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with transgressions, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, friends, as I read this passage, I realized that it's really aimed at two different kinds of people. There are those that are not attracted to Jesus, and there are those that are. Why would the world not be attracted to Jesus? Isaiah gives us 8 different reasons why people are not attracted to Jesus. Let me point them out to you. Verse 2. The world would not be attracted to Jesus because he was only a local boy. It says in verse 2, he grew up before them. You know, Jesus once said, a prophet is seldom welcome in his own hometown. Isn't that truth? I had a situation like that. When I went to study at theological college, I went from a particular church, and I had studied 4 years of theology, and eventually the church from which I came invited me to come and preach at that church. And I came and I preached what I believed was I'm a right sermon. I know I was still a student, but I preached what I believed was the word of God. Do you know what happened after that? One of the deacons stood up in the church afterwards and told the whole congregation why what I had preached was a lot of nonsense. Can you believe that? I won't go into the full story, but the rest of the story was quite sad. But I was so shaken, you can imagine. And I realized how true that was. A few years later, that church wanted me to become their pastor. And I just said, no ways, I would never become your pastor. Because a prophet is seldom welcome in his own hometown. Friends, when Jesus walked around on the face of the earth, people said, isn't this the man from Nazareth? Who's he? He's a nobody. He's just a local boy. So that's why the world would not accept Jesus. Secondly, the world would not accept Jesus or not be attracted to Jesus because, friends, he had no connections, no royal connections. It says he grew up like a tender root, like a root out of the ground. That's a phrase that often refers to people who are just ordinary. They've come from the ground up. They're not the important people of this world. You know, I bet you if President Ramaphosa walked into that door over there, we would all jump up, wouldn't we? We would want to be very kind to him. You know, we would come and put him right in the middle of the church over here, wouldn't he? But I bet you, if one of those young men who are looking after cars came into that church there, what would we do? We would stick him in the corner there, wouldn't we? Friends, that's the sad reality. That's the world around us. The world around us tries to think that people who come from high places are more important than those that come from low places. So that's why the world would reject Jesus, because it said he grew up like a dry root from the roots of the world. Thirdly, the world would not be attracted to Jesus because, friends, this passage tells us Jesus would never have been considered a 10. You know, that seems to be the standard. If you are the perfect person, beautiful in every way, strong and fit and young and healthy and, tall, dark and handsome and a good athlete or a good sports person, then you're considered to be a 10. But listen to what it says about Jesus. He grew up before them like a tent to shoot and like a root. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. If you look to Jesus, friend, as he walked the face of this earth, you wouldn't turn your head twice. He would just be another person that comes past you. And you wouldn't look at him as being somebody extraordinary. He just kind of was a number five, like most of us are. We would call him an average Joe in English, or a man of the street, or just the rank and file, or a commoner. There's nothing that was attractive in how Jesus looked. You know, oftentimes when we see pictures of Jesus on the screen here, or we see movies about him, we see this guy with his long flowing hairs, don't we? And he's always this beautiful looking man. He looks like this, you know, this real model kind of thing. No, friends, that's not what Jesus looked like. We must understand those are just actors. They have no idea of what Jesus looked like. We know he certainly wasn't attractive from what Isaiah tells us. Number four, the world would not be attracted to Jesus because he was considered to be somebody of no value. Listen to what it says. He was despised and rejected by men. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's what the world thought of Jesus, friends, when Jesus walked the face of this earth. They thought he had no value at all. The same word that is used to describe Jesus here was used when Goliath first saw David. Remember when that battle between Goliath and David happened, and Goliath walked out, all 7 or 8 foot of him, you know, close to 3 meters of him, one of the biggest men who ever walked the face of this earth, and little David walked out, just as a little shepherd boy. The Hebrew there that Goliath uses to describe David is, he's nothing. He's nothing. This is just a nobody. That's what the world thinks of Jesus, friends. When they look at Jesus, they hide their face from him because there is no value in their lives for Jesus. Fifthly, the world would not be attracted to Jesus because, friends, Jesus grew up facing hard times. Listen to what it says in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Friends, the home in which Jesus grew up in was not a wealthy home. It was a home of ordinary people. How do we know that? Well, remember when Mary and Joseph went off to Bethlehem to go to be counted? While the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn, the reality is, friends, they probably couldn't have afforded to pay to go and stay in the inn. That's probably what it was. So they were just stuck in a stable with a roof over their heads, because Mary was just about to have a baby. At least the owner of the hotel cared enough for them to at least put a roof over their head so that Mary could have the baby at least in a dry place. There was no money. They were just ordinary working class people. Joseph was a man who worked with his hands. Apart from that, friends, Jesus grew up in a home where his father had died early. This was a single mother to a large degree that raised Jesus. His very own family thought Jesus was mad. In fact, at one point in time, his own family came to collect Jesus because they thought that he had gone mad. They wanted to take him home. Friends, the world is not attracted to Jesus because Jesus grew up in a hard place. He wasn't somebody who looked like he had the image of success around him. You see, the world is attracted by people who are successful, people who are beautiful, people who've got money and power and positions. They would never have been attracted to Jesus. Sixthly, the world is not attracted to Jesus because, friends, this passage tells us it appeared as even God turned his back on Jesus. Verse 4 tells us he was stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. There are many words that we could use to talk about the fact that Jesus was facing a difficult time. Hebrew uses all three of the words, friends. The Hebrew Bible here tells us in every single way Jesus had been rejected by God. In fact, when Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus even expressed that. Remember what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, the world would never be attracted to somebody whom it appeared as if God had rejected. You know, we are looking, the world is looking for preachers who have been anointed. You hear that these days? Oh, you've got to go and listen to that preacher because he's the anointed one of God. Friend, when it came to Jesus, while we know he was the anointed one of God, yet it appeared, friends, as he was the one who was rejected by God. Let's be careful what we use to judge our choice of Jesus. And then seventhly, friends, the world wouldn't have accepted Jesus because Jesus didn't even have a descendant. Now I know, particularly in the Xhosa culture, you know, having a family is important, isn't it? You have your ancestors, but you've also have to have descendants. Because those that come after you are meant to be those who remember you. Jesus didn't have that, friends. Jesus didn't have one human descendant from the world's perspective. Of course, we know that's different. But when the world looked at Jesus, they thought, who's this man? He isn't even married. He hasn't got any children. Who does he think he is? Why should we listen to him? Friend, in the Bible, the Hebrew culture is exactly the same. Not to have a child was considered to be cursed by God. Remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Abraham and Sarah didn't have any descendants. And so Sarah sins by asking her maidservant to sleep with Abraham to have a child. Just so that he would have a descendant, friends. You see, even in the Hebrew culture, friends, not to have descendants was considered to be cursed. Friends, Jesus would not be attractive to the world because he never left any human descendants. And eighthly, Jesus would not be attracted to the world, friends, because he died a pauper. He had nothing left at the end of his life. Even the last clothes that he had, the last thing he wore, the soldiers gambled to see who would get that piece of cloth. He had nothing. And in fact, the Roman authorities, what they normally would have done when somebody was crucified and nobody claimed the body, they would throw his body on top of the rubbish heap, and the crows and the vultures would come and eat that body. That's what was going to happen to Jesus' body, friends. That's how he died. He died an absolute pauper until he became a charity case. And a rich man said, I'll bury him. He can be buried in my tomb. We know that story as well. But friends, from a worldly perspective, there is nothing in the life of Jesus that would be attractive to the world. However, friends, now we get to the good part. Because to us Christians, Jesus is very attractive, isn't he? We love Jesus. We love him because we don't judge Jesus in the way that the world judges Jesus. Isaiah gives a very different picture of how we Christians see Jesus. Jesus, friends, is attractive to godly people for a number of reasons. Let me give them to you. Number one, it tells us he shared our burdens. Look at what verse 4 says. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Isn't that beautiful? Friend, when you go to the cross of Jesus, when you leave the cross, you don't take your burden with you any longer. You don't carry your sins with you any longer. You leave them at the foot of the cross. And Jesus picks them up and he carries them for you from that point onwards. That's why Jesus is attractive to us, friends, because Jesus carries our burden. Number two, Jesus is attractive to us Christians because, friends, he stood in our place when the guilty verdict was given. Listen to what it says in verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Isn't that beautiful, friends? Friend, as a sinner, you deserve to be punished. As somebody who has turned their back on God, you shouldn't be surprised if God turns his back on you. But friends, Jesus has come and said, I will pay the penalty of their sin. I will come between them and I will offer them your forgiveness because of what I have done. Friend, have you ever had somebody take your place when it came to something bad that you had done? Friend, that's what Jesus has done. He has taken our place. Instead of us, he has paid the penalty. Number three, Jesus is attractive to us, friends, because Jesus heals our greatest illness. It says there, by his wounds you are healed. Now, friends, I know that there are many people who claim this for physical healing. And in some way that is true. But it's more important for you to understand, friends, that by his wounds, you are healed from your spiritual illness. That is really the key. Friends, we have the biggest illness that we have, the biggest mistake that we have, is that there is a distance between us and God. There's a canyon between the two of us. And friends, we have this sickness within us called sin. And it's eating away at us every single day. And Jesus said, I will give you the power, friend, to overcome sin. I will give you the power so that you will be healed from the power of sin. Number four, friends, Jesus is attractive to us godly people because he gives us meaning in life. Isaiah says, we like sheep have all gone astray. We're all doing our own thing. Each of us, it says, has turned to his own way. But then he carries on and says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, what Isaiah is saying is that when we become a follower of Jesus, when we choose Jesus, friends, we are no longer going in the wrong direction. We're no longer lost sheep. We are the sheep who have been found. We are the sheep who are part of God's family. Number five, Jesus is attractive to God's people, friends, because Jesus restores the purposes of God for his people. Verse 10 says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord made his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. You see, friends, when God originally created us, he created us for the purpose of having a relationship with him. As we look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that's what we see, friends. We see two people who walked with God, who talked with God, who God was involved with in every single way. But when sin entered into their lives and into the world, there was a separation from them. There was a guard put at the gate of the Garden of Eden, angels put at the gate of the Garden of Eden, and no longer was fellowship with God something that we would have on a daily basis. But friends, it tells us when Jesus came back, he restored the possibility of us having a daily relationship with Jesus. Friend, you have a daily relationship with Jesus. Jesus doesn't have to be far away from you. Jesus, friend, can be part of your life in every single way. And he wants to be. And then finally, friends, why is Jesus attractive to us? Because, friend, Isaiah reminds us that Jesus prays for us. Look what he says. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Friend, what a wonderful thing to know that even now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. I don't know how comforting that is for you, friends. But when you know that there are people praying for you, it is such a wonderful, incredible blessing. The church that we were a part of when I was at Theological College had a group of elderly ladies. And those ladies prayed for Patricia and I every single day. We saw them about 20 years afterwards. And they said to us, we are still praying for you. Every day. Friend, what an encouragement. Perhaps you've got a granny or a mother or a father who prays for you. Friend, Jesus prays for you as well. The world may not be attracted to Jesus, But friend, surely we should be.